So now we will turn to Philippians 2. Starts us out with four questions for us to ponder this morning. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. These seem like simple concepts, right? Like, sure, I can love like Jesus loves. I can humble myself before people, even when I know that I'm right and they're clearly wrong. Like, I can submit. You see how quickly our humanness turns from, this is good, I can do this, and then a negative thought, just quickly. Like, I still had a smile on my face, still, I can humble myself, they're clearly wrong, but okay. And our attitude starts to fall from, no matter what, I'm going to love today, to what is wrong with this person? And then all our faith in humanity falls, and we can't figure out how Jesus loves everybody. Like, everybody? Like, really? Everybody? Because we have some disagreements here. But that's what we're called to do, right? Let's take a moment and look around at the people in this room. Take a moment to see the people that have been brought into your life for some reason or another. Because there's some reason that you were brought to this church today. There's some reason that the people in this room, and those of you listening on the radio, you look around wherever you're listening at, there's some reason that you're supposed to be crossing paths with somebody right now. Now think about all the people outside of the church right now that either couldn't join us today, or your family, your friends, your coworkers, the people that you just happened to pass through in the grocery store. Maybe there's a cashier that you seem to gravitate to going to, or there's a moment in time that you had with somebody in some place. There's a purpose for people to be in our lives. Some are flitting. Some are just a moment on the street where you smile at each other and like, how's it going? Some people we form strong bonds with, and they'll be in our lives forever, sometimes if we like it or not. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason why we have challenging relationships in our lives, because those are the ones that probably help us grow more than the ones that are easy and we get along on everything, our interests are exactly the same, our ways of thinking are exactly the same, and then there's the people that maybe we always see different ways to get to point A. And sometimes that could be challenging, but those are the things that help us grow, because maybe I wouldn't see a different perspective if I didn't have somebody in my life that saw we need to go Y, Z, X to get to the point. And I'm like, no, it's always A, B, C. It's always in order. Yes. So you see, there's a reason for people. There's a reason people are brought into our life so we can serve one another. There's different people that we need to serve, and there's different people in our lives that they need to serve us. There's people in our lives that to love, to fellowship with, to encourage one another, etc. You get the point? And there all has to be all different people in our lives, because we're going to be able to connect with people on different levels and in different needs and scenarios. Jesus was a people person. You look at Jesus' ministry, page after page after page, people, 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 people. And it doesn't matter what he was on his way to do. It's always, and Jesus was on his way to so-and-so. And then some person came. And I'll tell you what, every single time Jesus stops for the person, not the task, the person. And you know what's incredible to me is sometimes I struggle with that. I've got my to-do list, and I'm on my way to do it, and then this person comes. Pastor Tosh, can I talk to you? I guess, I was on my way to do something, but you need prayer. I guess I'll stop and pray with you. Like, you get task-oriented. And why are we here? The people, if the bulletins don't get printed, okay, we don't get bulletins. If such and such doesn't happen, it's not going to be the end. Like, life will go on. But if that person doesn't know that they're very important at that point in time, and that there's always time to stop and pray for you, because that's how much God loves you, and I just happen to be the person putting your life at that very moment that can pray for you. That's what's going to last forever. These silly tasks that we got to get done. You know, the task, getting the task accomplished, what does that do? I got that task accomplished. It helps build us up. But it's saying here in the scriptures, don't look out for your own interests, but take the interest in others too. So maybe my task list doesn't get done by this particular time that I wanted it to. Here's the cool thing while I was going with Jesus there. He's always on his way to do something. Person comes in, and here's God's time. He allows Jesus the time to minister to that person right then and there. And he always gets to his destination to do whatever he was supposed to do over here. And what happens to me, and I'm probably the only one I know speaking about this, is I look at my task and I'm like, well, if I stop and I pray with you, I'm not going to get the last two things done on my list because I don't have time, blah, blah, blah. And then your mind goes spinning into time is lost. If your priorities are in order, as Jesus showed us, you're always going to have time to get whatever you need to get done. You're always going to have time to relax at the end of the day. You're always going to have time if you allow God to lead you to your priorities and your next task is through your task list. Sometimes relationships are hard in our lives. There's communication problems. There's perception problems. There's problem-solving problems. There's our confidence levels. When I say confidence levels, I mean our self-confidence. Sometimes we look at ourselves pretty far down, so then we quickly get threatened by somebody that we perceive has it all together. Our cultural competency can be low, so then we're just not able to communicate with somebody because we're not understanding where they're coming from, they're not understanding where we're coming from, so we just butt heads because we just... our confidence, our knowledge in where they're coming from is just low, etc. And uncontrollable circumstances. Someone you love gets ill and your life changes. Because now they're not able to do all the things that they used to do, so then you can't do the same activities that you used to do with them, and so then it's really hard not to get mad at that person, isn't it? It's not their fault. Or death happens. You had plans. You were going to go on that trip together or you were going to visit that restaurant one more time. It's hard not to get mad at that person. Why did you die now? Right? Life circumstances can really put us in a rut sometimes. It's really hard. It's called acceptance. I really don't know anybody that's perfect at acceptance, especially when it's something that you really want it in your life, but God will help you get through that. Us humans, we can quickly turn to negative thoughts and attitudes, and then we can turn to someone to help. Does anybody do this? Like, you're like, okay, I'm going to get out of this rut. I'm going to call so-and-so, and you call them. You're like, listen, I'm calling you so you can help walk me out of this darkness. And you tell them what happened, and they're like, yeah, and another thing. And they join you, like you called your battle buddy to get you out, and then they love you so much that then they get on the defense about whatever happened, and it doesn't help you at all. Here's what happens. If we flip over to Philippians 4, we're going to find out about two ladies that were leaders in the Philippian church at this time, starting chapter 4, verse 2. Now I appeal to you, Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, and Paul is speaking to a third party to be like a mediator, to help these two women. For they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. This is all we know about these two women. We don't know what their disagreement was on. We don't really know who the mediator was that Paul was calling on to help these two ladies. What we know is that their disagreement was causing strife within themselves, and it was starting to go out into the church congregation in Philippi at the time. It's hard to deal with people sometimes. And I have you ever been in conflict with somebody? You guys both had good intentions, but you had different ways of going about it. There's a different time in the Bible that it happens, and some of the disciples actually separate and say, you know what, we're going to disagree. We're going to agree to disagree on how we're going to minister to God's people. So I'm going to take so-and-so, and we're going to go this way, and you take so-and-so, and you go that way. And let's just work for God separately for this time period. Jesus dealt with people. He dealt with the disciples, which are always a fun group of people to read about. They're like the Three Stooges sometimes. He had to deal with the Pharisees, who constantly tried to tear him down and ruin his ministries. He had to deal with those that were ill and downtrodden and going through the worst periods of their life. He had to deal with knowing what was in store for him and putting his mission in front of that, all his fears. Do you think he had the same people problems we do? Absolutely. Absolutely. How did he go forward? Well, let's flip back to Philippians 2, 5 through 8, and let's see what it talks about here. I'm actually going to back up to 5. So you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. This is the attitude that Jesus had when he was dealing with his people problems. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Humbled himself. Love and obedience. The two women had a controversy going on. They needed to come to agreement. And the only way that they could do that is through love for each other and obedience to God and allowing God to come in and settle whatever it was between them. And in this particular case, it had gotten so heated that they needed a third party to come in and be that communicator. I don't know where everybody is here, but I'm sure that there's something within this story that you can relate to, and there needs to be reconciliation within your life. And the only way you're going to get there is through love, obedience to God, and humbling yourself before God, yourself, and that other individual. Paul is speaking to the Philippians. And let's continue on here. In chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore God elevated Jesus in the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now here's where Paul is going to give these Philippians some encouragement. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Jesus died for us. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing. I'll read that again for me. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. We continue in the story on chapter 4, verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This is one of my favorite verses. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right, what is pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice. This is the key to this stuff. It's not going to happen overnight. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Let me tell you a little bit about the Philippians if you don't know about the culture and the times right now. So we'll back up a minute. Jesus shows up. He's not exactly what people thought he was going to be. The Jews thought Jesus was going to come and he was going to be this miraculous savior, political savior, and he was going to tear down the Roman government from ruling over the lands, and it was going to be peaceful and back to the way that it was, okay? Then he does his thing, and the Romans are like, okay, this will be settled. This guy will die. This little congregation of people believing in Jesus, they'll eventually fizzle out because once you get rid of the leader, thinking more militant, once you get rid of the leader, then the sheep will just kind of fall away. We'll get back to normal. The Jews are still like, I'm not sure what happened. And Jesus' followers are clinging on to that hope. But Jesus, the Spirit comes, floods the believers, and they're confident in what they believe. They start doing miraculous things, and Christianity just floods the whole culture around Rome and all the provinces that they controlled at the time. Different things happen in history where now the Romans, being a great, great culture, are starting to run into strife as a nation. So who are you going to blame? This new group of people that seem to be rising in population or population and popularity, so they become the scapegoats. So all these words that Paul put into this letter to encourage the Philippians, they're facing persecution. Like, they are being tormented, they are being killed. And so to hear him say, don't worry about anything, just pray. Go forth with confidence preaching the word. You can literally walk out of the street and start proclaiming the name of Jesus and be grabbed and thrown in jail and be killed. These are the type of people, like, so you put that in perspective, I think we can step out in faith and follow God. Agree? I think we can say, yeah, I've got some trials and tribulations in my life too, but I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be the light that Paul's talking about this to the Philippians. I think this letter is also to us. We face all kinds of stuff in our lives, right? One of those being ourselves. We put our self-imposed limitations on ourselves. That's a struggle. That's a struggle that's so difficult because we don't even know what we're limiting ourselves on. Most of the time we're in denial what we said that we couldn't do. Right? So in Christ we unite. Success and unity in life is through Christ. Allow Christ to bring peace upon your lives, regardless of the circumstances you face. I challenge you today to ask God to help you to have an attitude of gratitude, or because of Thanksgiving, a thankstitude. As we go into this holiday, I challenge you to fix your eyes and your hearts on God. Fix your minds on what is true, honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and what is admirable. Once you jump on that negative train, it is really difficult to get off of it. And you just keep spiraling, 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 spiraling. Philippians 4-8 again. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Not that he's not with you right now, but it's pretty hard to acknowledge that God's peace is with you and that he's with you when you've gone complete to negative, because God's the opposite of that. Hopefully anything that's been wearing you down, you can help to kind of release that this morning, so that when you go into this Thanksgiving holiday, you're able to remember all the things that you are thankful for and remember the blessings that have been passed upon you in 2016 that might be kind of shaded by circumstances, by negative things, by lack of forgiveness, by all that stuff, and that we can release this morning all that bad stuff that keeping the good stuff from coming to the surface and remembering how good God is. So peace be with you.